Our reading for Saturday, April 26th, begins in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate at the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the Author of Life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. But now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel and those who came after him, also proclaim these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, "And in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed." God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." Chapter 4 continues this because the council gets involved after this bit of preaching, but we're going to stop there just for the sake of brevity for our daily reading and go back and observe a few things. Remember that we had talked about in chapter 2 that Peter had answered the accusation of them being drunkards or some fabrication going on, even though it was a miraculous event that everyone was hearing in their own language. He used that opportunity to preach to them, not only to show that the things that they were witnessing were a fulfillment of prophecy, but also that it was by the will and the power of both God the Father and Jesus the Son, and that the Son was sent, and that it was part of God's plan that they be crucified. So 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel on that particular day. So where we pick up in chapter 2, verse 42, those that had been added to the church on that day verse 42, they were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. It was not enough for them to simply know Jesus and be done with it. It was not enough for them even to develop faith, repent of sins, and confess his name and be baptized in the name of Jesus. That was not enough either. They had to learn about how to live a righteous life in the eyes of God. That's not to say that we're trying to earn a salvation, but we do have expectations from God if we are believers that we have to live according to his will, to walk in the light. And so they had to learn those things just as you and I do. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They spent time with one another. They built that bond that should exist within the local church, both in worship and in learning, as well as social situations, so that they knew what was going on with each other, as well as caring about their particular physical situation, and they took care of any needs, as you see in verse 45. It says that day by day they were attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. That's one of the marks of a disciple, is that despite the fact that some of them were in need, those needs got supplied, and then they were thankful. They were glad, and we need to be the same way, especially during this time with this coronavirus going around. We need to have a sense of contentment. We don't need to be overcome by fear, and we need to focus on those things that are truly important. And that's what they were doing here, and they were praising God, and that by these things they gained favor with the people. In other words, the people looked upon them in a positive way. That favor among the people must have generated some sort of interest or opportunities to speak about Jesus, because it says that day by day there were more and more that were being saved. So then we jump into chapter 3 with Peter and John going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. I'm assuming that this was their normal routine, was to go to the temple, not only for the hour of prayer, but I'm sure it was also the opportunity to speak to others that are spiritually minded, especially those that had maybe not heard everything about Jesus yet, or they had not been convinced. So they're looking for opportunities to share the gospel. But as they're going, they come across this man that is dependent upon the generosity of others in order for him to get by, for him to live. And seeing Peter and John go by, he asked for alms. He asked for them to give him money. And they tell him, as verse 6 says, they don't have silver and gold, but they do, by the power of Jesus, tell him, rise up and walk. They grant him healing of his physical condition. And that would have been an incredible blessing. Sometimes we overlook in our modern society, because we have certain safeguards built in, you know, disabilities and government programs that can help people that do not have the capability to work and earn a living on their own. Can you imagine if you had to go sit in a public place every single day begging for the generosity of strangers to simply be able to eat, to live? You can't be productive in any way. Even technology allows us to have productivity today in ways that a person at that time never would have dreamed of. And this healing wasn't just a matter of overcoming that physical malady. It would have enabled them to live a normal life, to be productive, to have a job, to have a family, to be what everybody else gets to be. So that would be an incredible blessing. And so they take him, he gets up, and his feet and ankles are strong, and he doesn't just get up, it says leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them. It's interesting that he doesn't just run off to go tell family. No. He's been healed, and so he's going to come with them. He's going to go worship God, praise God, pray to God, tell everybody he can. He's going to be for lack of a better way to describe it, a public spectacle, but I don't mean that in a negative way. He wants people to see that he has now been healed, and they do. they do see him walking and praising God. Verse 9, verse 10, they recognize that he's the one that's always asking for alms, and they're filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And they take the opportunity then to preach to them. It has generated some attention, so let's take advantage of it. So the people are utterly astounded. They're gathering together about this. Peter begins to address the people, and he says, "Why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us as though this was done by our own power or our own piety?" He said, "No, this is done by the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, the one who glorified Jesus, this Jesus whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he decided to release him." I would add, when Pilate saw no fault in him. He says, "You denied the holy and righteous one. You asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. And we are witnesses of this." So he says, why is this so strange to you? You saw these things going on when Jesus was here. You crucified Jesus, but God raised him from the dead because that was part of his plan. And that's how this is being done today, even though he's ascended to heaven. It's still being done by him. And so, verse 17, "I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. And then, because of this, or based on this, repent. Turn again that your sins may be blotted out." And so he's giving them that a very important point. If even though it may have been ignorance, you have sin. And we all have sin. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We all need to be forgiven. Every single one of us has been taken under the bondage of sin and Satan himself, and we need to be freed by the righteous one, the holy one, the author of life. So verse 22, "Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen shall be destroyed from the people.'" So he gives them a choice. We all have a choice. You can heed the gospel and you can take advantage of the offer, or you can turn away from it, but you will be destroyed for doing so. And as Jews, as sons of Abraham, they should have been looking for this fulfillment, and they should have been looking for the author of life. So then, verse 26, "God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." And then we'll get into chapter 4 tomorrow about the reaction of the council to all of this. So a lot going on here, but the same idea in chapter 3, really, as we saw in chapter 2, is generating interest by that miraculous power that backs up the words of Jesus' apostles. They speak those words that point to Jesus the Christ, to generate faith in him, and for them to repent and be obedient. The same thing that you and I do today through the scriptures, that we don't have the apostles physically present with us and doing those miracles in front of us. We have them recorded. They still generate faith. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all. Please, for those that are brethren at Oaks West, keep those in mind that are on our prayer list, those that are hospitalized during this time. And I hope to see an end to all of this very soon and be able to gather with you all again. God be with us.